Just some guy goes out there and reads lots and lots and lots of documents. Ed, we know him better as Mr. X. I don't know why Mr. X just kind of spilled out one day. And anyway, Ed, welcome back. We wanted to talk a little bit about this state of emergency that Governor Brown ended up bringing up a few weeks ago, I should say. And it seems more and more clear to me that she has absolutely been beyond her authority. At this point, though, we're getting to the point where the cattle are kicking down the chute anyway, and they're starting to reopen in spite of the orders in the states of emergency and, you know, real or contrived. And I think they're more contrived right now. How do you see it at this point as we start off our conversation about this?
Well, to sum it up, Bill, for what I truly believe is that we should change the name from governor to empress. And this is the pathway that she's taking.
I got to tell you look at the Oregon Constitution, though. The empress has no clothes when it comes to her extension of the emergency. Isn't that right?
That's my point. And I mean, a week or two ago, we talked briefly about this. But the reality to it is it starts back when a West Coast, the Oregon Public Broadcasting released this story with the headline, A West Coast Compact for Reopening Based on Health Data.
Right.
Well, what is a West Coast Compact? A compact can't exist unless it's been formally approved by Congress.
And it was never run by Congress. We know that. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Congress. And now we hear in the news Nevada has joined California, Oregon, and Washington, and now we have the West Coast Pact. Well, that pact is fundamentally flawed because it's illegal. It cannot happen. Now, they can coordinate different things. It's good for them to talk. I mean, I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, we're not talking about the inability to call up a governor in another state and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to be opening up my marinas to out-of-state people. Are you cool with that, et cetera, right? And there's nothing wrong with those kind of conversations. But when you talk about pacts, compacts, and things, they're words mean something, and that's why we have to be so important to call them on it.
That's exactly right. And when I start breaking it down, I go to an understanding or a principle of how the Constitution is supposed to work, okay? Constitutions are put in place as a fundamental guideline as to the absolute of what someone can or cannot do in our system of government. And we have a representative republic. So I look at that and I think, well, okay, where does it come into? Well, it comes into the concept of representative republic. So now that is what we communicate to our representatives, okay? So I look at all of the information that's out in the world right now, all of the things that we've been subject to. And even as of today, you know, some of this stuff came from today from the CDC sites, okay? The cases in the U.S., total cases, 1,171,510. Total deaths, 68,279. But that's labeled under coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19. You notice it doesn't say SARS-CoV-2.
Which is the official name of, the virus itself. Yeah.
Okay. And I want to remind people that when you listen to these reports, anybody talking, when they say COVID-19, COVID-19 in its absolute, according to the CDC, is a list of symptoms that can cross over to other infections. And you see that if you read the actual reports, this is what you find. You find a difference in the list of symptoms, a difference in the actual outcome of what they were being treated for.
So do you mind me translating a little bit here, Mr. X? And I know that everybody uses the COVID crisis or COVID-19 as the shorthand. We do that. But what we have to make sure and understand, it's almost let me make an equivalent. There is AIDS and there is HIV, right?
That's right.
That is the difference. We have the HIV, the human immunosuppressant virus, whatever the name is. And then there was AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome. AIDS is the actual symptoms, what it actually was, so to speak, or the actual disease presence or how it was diagnosed out there. That is a similar. So AIDS is the equivalent of COVID-19. Would that be a fair connection?
That would be fair, Bill. That would be fair.
But AIDS is not the HIV. AIDS does not mean HIV. In fact, there are other ways you could have acquired immune deficiency syndrome. But just like with COVID-19, there are other viruses and or diseases or pathogens which could cause similar symptoms. So that's what we need. And that's why the CDC ends up separating COVID-19 from SARS-CoV-2, which is the actual name of the virus that they're trying to eradicate.
Exactly right.
Okay.
That's right. Now, you know, and the rest of, you know, how we look at this, it's all a matter of how we look at it. As of today, to give you an idea, on the CDC site, I went to that, and the coronavirus disease they listed as COVID-19, cases and deaths by county, cases by county. So you go to their site, and in that, in Jackson County, we have total cases 49. We are 1.8% of the state's cases. Okay? Now, to take that further, the concept of all of that.
And Josephine County, by the way, about 22%. Or 22 cases, right. If I recall. Might be a little bit more.
So, and I could probably give you the percentage there if you give me just a moment here. Josephine, 22 cases, 0.8%. Okay? Now we go to an understanding of what that actually translates to. That from the high to the low, we have demonstrated an ability to control or attack the emergency. Okay? Now, Kate Brown initiated this under ORS 401-165.
That's the governor's power during a state of emergency. That's what that's about.
Well, that's a declaration of a state of emergency. Mm-hmm. Not the governor's power during it. That I'm going to address in a different way. But if I go to item number 5 on a declaration of a state of emergency, it's very clear. Now, this is the statutory control over what the governor can do. Number 5 on ORS 401-165 states, and I'll read it directly, any proclamation of a state of emergency must specify the geographical area covered by the proclamation, period. Such area shall be, and again, shall be no larger than necessary to effectively respond to the emergency.
So, in essence, Governor Brown probably had the authority to say that in those veterans' homes and various other places where there was truly a health emergency or a public health problem at that point, you could call an emergency there. But was there ever really an emergency in Jackson or Josephine County?
That's the question. Now she states she wants to wait until July 6th. This is an absurdity. It's an absolute absurdity. But you go back and you say, well, how do we do that constitutionally? Well, we have to understand how it works constitutionally. And I'm going to take you to another statutory part of this, because this is ORS 401-204.
Okay.
And this is a separate statute to the termination of a state of emergency. Okay? Two lines, Bill, two lines. Number one, the governor shall terminate the state of emergency by proclamation when the emergency no longer exists or when the threat of an emergency has passed.
And also, I would say that the state of emergency proclaimed by the governor can be terminated by the legislative assembly. So the legislature could weigh in and terminate
that
too.
Number two.
Yeah.
That's number two on the statute. So now, when you look at that, what does that mean? Well, it's the legislative intent not to do harm to the people through a bad decision or a bad direction by someone. And so you look at that and you say, well, what's the legislative intent? Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a brief run into something. And this is crucial for people to understand. In 2012, we went into a constitutional amendment in the state of Oregon.
That was the one that the voters ended up approving that granted a constitutional change to allow the government more emergency powers. I recall that.
That's right. Now, what I'm going to is specifically is legislative intent, okay? The summary of the text of that measure, okay, which was Measure 77 back in 2012, summary, amends Constitution. Currently, the governor has statutory but not constitutional authority to declare a state of emergency and direct response to the emergency. Measure grants governor constitutional authority to declare and respond to natural or human-caused catastrophic disaster defined in parentheses. Okay? Now, I'm gonna skip the financial aspect because that's immaterial to me at the moment. Now, go to the last part of it. It says, limits disaster authority of governor and legislature to 30 days unless legislature acts to shorten / lengthen period.
Let me translate then to reality, Mr. X, what you just said there. That is in the Oregon Constitution. Voters approved this change a few years ago. Has 30 days maximum, 30 days of an emergency declaration period, unless the legislature has weighed in. The legislature has not chosen to call itself in or weigh itself in, which means that any extension of her executive order of a state of emergency is null and void on its face, is it not?
I would, Bill, in my heart, soul, mind, every aspect of my being, I believe that. I look at this, and this was the legislative intent based upon the people. The people that they represent voted to pass this constitutional amendment. And the Constitution is the guideline or the framework that allows us the safety net of not allowing her to become what I stated earlier, the Empress of Oregon. Okay? This is the reality to it. Now, you have to explain this to people. You have to sit back and understand it, read it, and take stock in the fact that it does exist. And the reality to it was the intent of the legislature, they stated right in the summary, to what? Amends Constitution. Governor has statutory but not constitutional authority. That's what it states. So up until 2012, she didn't have constitutional authority to declare an emergency. The intent of the legislature was to give her constitutional authority to declare emergency. So the logic would be she had to use the items under Article 10 of the Constitution of the state of Oregon to do this. And if you go to catastrophic disasters is what it's called.
Yeah, well, the other part about this, though, is that she still didn't even declare the state of emergency properly.
I don't believe so. I don't believe so at all.
She didn't. And part of it is that she references a public health emergency, but she never declared a public health emergency because that's a separate
exactly
statute.
Right? That's exactly right. That's a 433 statute, mm-hmm. public health emergency, so, which is what it should have been. That was a 14-day period. But now when you go to the Article 10 aspect of it, it specifically gives the additional powers of the governor, the procedural requirements for the legislative assembly, every aspect, okay? And it goes down to the termination part of this. And if you look at the statutes are all designed to give protection measures.
In other words, to protect us from a governor dictator. That's what it is. That's
right.
What it's there for. And I think there's been way too much deference given to Kate Brown in this entire emergency declaration process. She's gone beyond the 30-day limit. The legislature, frankly, has been sitting on their butt. I'm talking about the state senators and the state and the state representatives. I don't think they've been doing anything about that at all. In fact, I was trying to get, I was talking with Senator Berchtesgaden about this. They should have been jumping up and down about this the moment she talked about extending it, shouldn't they?
Bill, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it's severely disappointing to me to hear the responses that I hear. I don't care if there's an abundance of Democrats in there right now or not. We're the people. We have to tell those representatives what we want them to do. And their fiduciary obligation and duty is to take that to the bank. That's it. Bottom line, if they don't, that's malfeasance of office. That's a gross dereliction of what they're supposed to be doing. And we have to start calling them on it. This is the reality. If we want to sit back and say, this is still America. There was a thing I talked to you about the other day, okay? It was a line in a movie, but it made the most sense of all. But it says, out here, we surrender or we survive. And that's what you got to take out of all of this. Do you want to just surrender or do you want to survive? I hear all of the stories of the people calling in today closing down river trips. You have got to be kidding me. What, on what basis? On what basis? There's a personal responsibility thing in here. If you have been exposed, if you think you've been exposed, but there's also a greater good responsibility that we have to start looking. There's been a lot of talk about, oh, it violates HIPAA rules to divulge where the coronavirus is. No, it doesn't.
Bolstein.
That's right. That doesn't violate anything. You don't have to name the people. You don't have to divulge any personal thing. But you can advise the public of where it is and how to avoid where it is. And as we get going in this, as we keep going through this, if there can only be, the pathway that I see is there can only be another ulterior motive. Now, Kate Brown's ulterior motive, as I see it, is what they announced yesterday. She wants 15,000 volunteers to go door to door.
And contact tracking. Yeah, contact tracking.
Mm-hmm. Contact tracking. Well, Kate, I haven't had any exposure. I'm still healthy. There's my contact tracing. I don't have any contact.
All right. Hey, Mr. X, hang on. 770-5633. We're talking about, the law, the Constitution, the statutes, how Governor Brown, in our opinion, has violated it all under the guise of, public health emergency, which also she didn't declare. But yet she references public health emergency in her state of emergency. It's 832 KMED and KCMD.
Dave Dotterer is committed to the citizens of Jackson County.
I'm prepared to focus on all issues, including the unique challenges we're facing right now, and lead us to a better tomorrow.
Dave knows what it means to serve and how to lead our community's response to COVID-19.
My number one priority is to see Southern Oregon recover and thrive as soon as possible.
Vote Dave Dotterer for Jackson County Commissioner. Learn more at friendsofdavedotterer.com. Paid for by the Friends of Dave Dotterer.
U.S. Cellular. For $30 a month with four lines, do you get A, unlimited data, B, a strong signal, or C, fast speeds? It's all of the above.
Unlimited data, strong signal, fast speeds, $30 per month. U.S. Cellular. Choose fair.
Autopay, paperless billing, and credit approval required. Data on the unlimited basic plan may be temporarily slowed in times of congestion, and data may be slower than other traffic. Additional terms apply. See uscellular.com for details.
Siskiyou Cellular, an authorized agent for U.S. Cellular, is open and ready to serve at all 7 Southern Oregon stores. Visit souscellular.com for locations and directions.
Drake's Paint and Supply, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, would like to thank the amazing customers who've supported them through this difficult time. Many customers have mentioned how they just appreciate the clean, intimate setting that isn't jammed full of people like the big box store. Drake's priority is to keep you safe. And if you're in the market to paint your house, contact Drake's and they'll get you in touch with a quality local painter. They want to keep hard workers working. Drake's Paint and Benjamin Moore at 2929 North Pacific Highway or drakespaint.com.
Traditions.
During times of uncertainty, traditions provide a great sense of comfort.
Something that feels like normal daily life.
While a lot are being broken.
When I know this was traditionally a weekend, we would have loved to be outside.
We are creating some new ones.
Traditions are going to change.
Doing virtual happy hours.
Cheers.
Make it your tradition to check in throughout the day.
Thinking about doing something which would become perhaps a tradition.
With your traditional source of information and communication.
An American tradition.
I love the tradition.
On KMED and 99.3. KCMD.
The Bill Myers Show on 99.3 KCMD and FM 106.7 KMED.
It's 8:34. It's appropriate bumper song sober, because I think Oregon's starting to sober up and realizing that, you know, coming out of their COVID coma and realizing just how despotic Governor Brown has behaved through this process. Going above it. And Kelly, you wanted to weigh in on the COVID tracking here as we were back with Mr. X. Go ahead.
Okay. So from what I've been
Good morning.
From what I've been able to learn about the tracking, it's going to be done on an anonymous basis, so that if you're approached and told that you've been in contact with someone who tested positive, you're not told who that person is, which is ridiculous, because if you test negative, wouldn't you want to know who to not be around?
One would think that would be appropriate. Mr. X, that might actually be where they're trying to step around the HIPAA law. Would that be fair to say, Mr. X?
Well, probably. She's got a very valid point. I mean, that's the reality. Voluntarily, you would want to release this information so people don't come around you.
Yeah.
People don't have contact with you if this is so dangerous to our system. But the other side of this, Bill, is that, you know, I have in front of me, you know.
By the way, thanks for the call, Kelly. You appreciate that. All right. What was that, Mr. X?
I look at the, you know, this whole step towards testing being the solution. Testing. Oh, testing will do this. Most of these tests are not effective. And I have document after document. I don't want to go through them all and point this out.
And we're not making this from the point of being claiming to be epidemiologists or anything like that. We're talking about the government's own data, their own reports on what has been done. Right, that's what we're touching on.
This one is from the FDA. That's the Food and Drug Administration. Detection, page 36 of this document. Detection of viral RNA may not indicate the presence of infectious virus or that 2019-nCoV is the causative agent for clinical symptoms.
But yet, isn't the governor, in her fevered mind about this all, talking about testing and tracking as being like the preconditions for people to get some form of freedom back from the governor?
That's exactly right. Now, here's another one from the CDC. CDC has developed a new laboratory test kit for use in testing patient specimens for severe acute respiratory syndrome, coronavirus 2, and in parentheses, it says SARS-CoV-2.
Well, at least they're actually testing for the proper. Hey, at least they're testing for the proper virus, Mr. X. At least they're doing that.
Well, in that statement, the CDC is verifying it is. It's saying the virus that causes COVID-19 or causes the symptoms. Mm-hmm. Okay, now it tells you that's the name of it, but they've developed a new test. But then you go to other parts of it. Okay. CDC has developed a new laboratory test to assist with the efforts to determine how much of the U.S. population has been exposed to SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. And then on that same document, it says serologic test results have limitations that make them less than ideal tools for diagnosing people who are sick, because it typically takes 1 to 2 weeks after someone becomes sick with COVID-19 for their body to make antibodies. Some people may take longer to develop antibodies. And depending on when someone was infected and the timing of the test may not find antibodies in someone with a current COVID-19 infection.
So it is useless. In other words, all of the protocol which is being demanded to reopen is of little to no use in the real world.
So we're going to destroy the economy. We're going to inflict harms on everyone in order to accomplish what? Testing that has no viable results or can't be considered reliable for 2 weeks?
Uh-huh. Now, so once again, though, I have to ask, though, Mr. X, under what authority does she have to order this now? Because she hasn't declared a public health emergency. She declared a state of emergency. The Constitution only allows her to do it for 30 days. She's trying to extend it, or she claims to have extended it for another 60. But she doesn't have the power or the authority to do it. So how can she claim the power and authority to demand tracking and testing? That's what I'm trying to figure out here, okay?
It ultimately may take a true legal challenge, okay?
All right.
Maybe. with the right pressure from the right people, which is locally governing bodies, then we can maybe move forward out of this. But someone is, you know, we have to start standing up to her in this regard and demand of our elected representatives that they do their job and protect us from an intrusion into our lives that should not be there.
This means talking with, Carl Wilson as an example, Senator Bertschinger, Kim Wallen, and Representative Pam Marsh, Senator Jeff Golden, our local commissioners, right? All the the county commission. They have to understand this, just how far Governor Brown has taken this over her line of authority. She doesn't appear to have the authority. This is just a basic reading of the Oregon Constitution in Article 10, where they talk about this. It's not that hard, Mr. X. It just isn't.
I can't tell you, Bill. To me, it's very easy. The other things are hard. Other avenues are hard. The realistic part of it is the protections are there if we look for them. You know, it's not a situation where you wave your pocket constitution around. This is not one of those. This takes a little bit of thought and understanding on how the Constitution is supposed to protect and guide all of these things.
All right, Mr. X, we're going to take a couple more calls then, and I'm just I'm turning into a pumpkin, though, okay? I wanted to make sure we hit these high points and get people thinking about that. And let me head back to the phones, and let's go to Darcy. Hey, Darcy, how are you doing this morning, and what are you thinking?
I'm doing great, and I want to do a call to action. So you guys have talked about how Kate Brown, it can't legally do this, and the legislature is doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say to every single listener out there, we can't afford not to get back economically. We already have a couple of people, places in Josephine County that said they've opened because they can't survive.
Right.
We need to be calling all of us, Kate Brown and her representatives, just like what happened with the marina. So everyone.
Yeah,
please.
Because we're all the Lost Creek Lake Marina.
And if we wait for a lawsuit, it's going to take forever and we'll be all dead.
So at the very least here, Kelly, I want you to just write this down because the first thing, Governor Brown is the main instigator of this right now. We know this. And that's why I've said that COVID-19 hasn't shut down anyone. All right. It's been Governor Kate Brown's authority or claimed authority that has done it. And now they don't answer a phone there, but you can call and leave the comment. And I would flood this office and it's at 503-378-4582. 378-4582. You can call. They may answer. They probably don't, but there is a big answering machine in the sky there that you can leave a comment. I think it's option two, okay? Let's see. Gary is in Selma. Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Hi, Bill, Ed. You know, Ed, she's shutting down something more important than river trips or rivers or campgrounds or anything else. You notice the date in which she wants to reopen?
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I know. And
he's trying
this
to
is
shut
the point.
Yeah, she's trying to shut down the 4th of July.
Yeah, July 4th. She's shutting down Independence Day, in essence, is what she's claiming.
Right.
That there's still an emergency at that point.
I, for one, won't haven't followed any of her rules.
Mm.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to something here, and I'm going to repeat something. And this is key and crucial on a connection, on a point-to-point connection, okay? And I'm going to go back to the legislative intent, okay? Now, this is, again, 401-165. This is the declaration of a state of emergency. This is what she used to create the executive orders. Item number five states, any proclamation of a state of emergency must specify the geographical area covered by the proclamation, period. Such area shall be no larger than necessary to effectively respond to the emergency. So now, based on that alone, when you have a maximum number of cases of 49 and a reduction to 9, I think it is, something like that, we have effectively responded to the emergency. We have effectively responded.
Which means, in effect, that we're not supposed to be involved in the state of emergency at this point. There's no reason for us to be involved in this. All right?
Whatever authority she wants to claim, she doesn't have. because the legislature installed a check and balance in the law, in the statutory law.
Unfortunately, though, the legislature seems to be sitting on its feet or sitting on its butt right now, afraid to do much about this, and I wonder why.
The reality, Bill, right now, you know, I've stated to you before, I'm pretty much an apolitical guy at most times because I don't trust any of them. And at this point, I'm going to call upon them to start doing their jobs, to start looking at the laws that they wrote. These are the laws that they wrote and passed on our behalf.
Mr. X, I appreciate the...
Live here and work here.
Yeah. Mr. X, thank you so much for helping break this down by statute and by constitution. And the point being, though, is that not only do you get in touch with Governor Brown and let her know you don't have authority past 30 days, the legislature hasn't weighed in, you didn't limit the state of emergency to a small enough area that actually had the emergency. In fact, she did, I don't even think she declared a geographical area in that original emergency, did she?
Well, she declared the state, the entire state.
Oh, she declared the entire state. Well, that was wrong on its face because the entire state wasn't having a problem.
Well, she projected a problem based upon the World Health Organization. And you know what, Bill? The last time that I looked, the World Health Organization was not part of the United States of America, nor did it function under the laws.
And nor has it actually been any good in predicting where this SARS-2 or COVID-19 has been going. So on that note, so the people we should be getting in touch with, folks, Governor Brown, like we mentioned, and then your state legislators, your state reps, and your state senators. Why aren't they calling Kate Brown on account? Because she doesn't have the authority to do what she's doing. And also getting in touch with your county commission. Would the county probably be the best place to step that up, step up that pressure?
I would think so. I know that they're working very hard on addressing it, Bill.
Good.
And that part of it, I think they're working extremely hard, and we have to give them a day to figure that out.
Okay. Well, at this point, our bottom line, we have to remember this, is that at the level of the issue that we're dealing with right now, the counties can handle this. They really can. Can't they?
Well, I think so. And I think that we can handle it by communicating to our representatives, okay, a demand of our representatives, demands of our representatives. And that means all representatives. That means Democrats, Republicans, everyone has to agree to this. Now, a large part of the power base lives in Portland. They had a problem. They had a higher outbreak. I think they were 30%, somewhere around 30% of the county-by-county part of it. Here, hang on one second.
Yeah, all right. Hey, Ed, I'm late on breaks here. I got to roll, okay? Okay, we have to leave it at just, this is the action plan right now. Call them all, right?
All right.
On that note, my friend, hey, thanks for coming on, Mr. X, community activist. Yeah, not an organizer, just a community activist. So there you have it. We'll keep the lines open here for your calls and comments at 770-5633.
The fight to stay safe has created changes.